Let's open our Bibles this morning in the book of Job and the chapter number 12. The 12th chapter of the book of Job. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word as we read the scriptures together, please. And we commence reading at verse number 1, the book of Job. And Job answered and said, "No doubt, but we are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you, yea, who knowest not such things as these. I am as one mocked of his neighbor, who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knowest not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they return or overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoil, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man." Amen. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We've been singing the words of that hymn, "O God, how great thou art." And as we bow in thy presence, we realize that there is none like thee. None of us, O God, by our understanding can search out thee. We thank thee for thine omnipotence, for thou art all-powerful. We thank thee for thine omniscience, for thou art all-knowing. We thank thee for thine omnipresence, for thou art present everywhere. Where can I flee from thy presence? And, O God, as we bow before thee, we acknowledge that we are but dust of the earth, and thou the great creator of the heavens and the earth. And as we bow before Thee, our great Creator, You've given us breath to breathe, for in Thee we live and move and have our being. Help us, our God, to submit to Thy commands and to Thy designs for our lives, O God, I pray in Jesus' name, that we will fulfill the purpose that Thou hast ordained for our existence in this earth. We think of those today that have never bowed the knee before Thee. They have never acknowledged the One who created them, the One who has given them and breathed into them, and they became a living soul. O God, I pray that Thou wilt speak to them this day concerning eternal realities and bring them to a saving faith in Your Son. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Last Lord's Day, as we gathered in God's house, we asked the question that was found in the Word of God. Canst thou by searching find out God? And yet as we turn to the Word of God, we realize that God desires to make Himself known unto His people. And as we were searching the Scriptures last Lord's Day, we were looking at the nature of God and who God really is. And as we were considering that, we noticed and we witnessed the absolute supremacy of God. That God is supreme over all the work of His hands. In actual fact, whenever we are reading here in God's Word, in the book of Job, in the chapter number 12, it says, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind." And it's interesting to notice in that same chapter it says, "Ask the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea, they shall declare unto thee." What would they say if they were able to speak to us, if they were able to answer us concerning the nature of God? What would they say? And they would say this: that God is supreme over all. That God is supreme over all. That all the creatures of God perform His bidding and do His pleasure. It was at His bidding, we read in Exodus chapter 14, that the Red Sea was divided. And how that God intervened on behalf of His children, how that the children of Israel, as they were going out of Egypt and they faced the great obstacle of the Red Sea, and behind them there were the enemy that was approaching and drawing close unto them. For Pharaoh was desiring to show his sovereignty over them and bring them back into bondage. And yet God said to Moses to stretch forth His hand and the rod over the sea, and it became as walls on the right hand and on the left, because the very sea did God's bidding. And it is interesting to notice that whenever you read that 11th, the chapter we read, the 14th chapter, it says in the verse number 30 of the book of Exodus, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did unto the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and His servant Moses." Why? Because God even is supreme. The supremacy of God even over His creation. Ask the sea, and it'll tell you that it moved at the very command of God. It says, "Ask the earth." And what would it tell you? Turn to the book of Numbers. And in the book of Numbers there, we read about the earth that is given to us. And in the Numbers chapter 16, in the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers, and there we find there in verse number 28, we read these words: "And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them in mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. It came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Ask the earth, what did the earth say? Because it was at the bidding of God, my friend, that the earth opened up her mouth, and the earth swallowed up Korah, and those that had defied the Lord, and their houses, and all that appertained unto them. And the earth opened her mouth, verse 32, and swallowed them up, and then shut over again. Why, friend? Because God's supreme. He was supreme over the Red Sea. The supremacy of God, because at God's bidding, the sea divided. At God's bidding, the earth opened her mouth. At God's bidding, what about the sun and the heavens? Is God in command? Is God supreme over the very sun that shines in the heavens? Turn to the book of Joshua. And when you come to the book of Joshua in the chapter number 10, and in Joshua 10, go to verse number 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua chapter 10. And friend, here you see the supremacy of God, even over the very sun in the heavens, even over the moon, because God said to the sun, Sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. There never was a day like this again. There never was a day before like it or after it, for the Lord fought for Israel. But, friend, we see the very sun and the moon doing the bidding of God. What about the birds of the air? Didn't Job say, ask them? Ask the fowls of the air? And what do they tell us? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, you have a wonderful story there about Elijah the Tishbite. And Elijah the Tishbite was called onto the stage of the history of Israel at God's command. And it says there in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is beyond Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have, notice the words, commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Even the very ravens, those little birds that God had made, God says, I have commanded them. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt in the brook Cherith. Verse 6, And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. They never missed a delivery. There were no breakdowns. Praise God for God's delivery. Because bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. How did they do it? Why did they do it then? God says, I have commanded them. Why? Because God's supremacy and God's bidding, the ravens carried food to Elijah. At God's bidding, the lions were tamed in Daniel's day. And as he was thrown for his testimony for God into the den of lions, instead of the lions attacking them, instead of the lions tearing them asunder, the lions sat there. And as he prayed to God, he could hear them purr a big amen. Because God shut the lion's mouth. Why? Because God's supreme over all his creation. Who would have ever sat in a den of lions, friend? Who would have chosen? Nobody, not even Daniel chose. But let me tell you, Daniel was safe in the den of lions because God shut their mouths. Because God's bidding, even the lions were tamed. Oh, the power of nature, the power of the wind. But let me tell you, at his bidding, the wind ceased. The power of water. And as the waters welled up in Noah's day and destroyed all of the earth, but Noah was safe in the ark of God's provision. But God said that never again would a water destroy the earth. God has made a promise that never again he would destroy the earth with a flood. Let me tell you, friend. It's at God's bidding, even the very waters of the deep are stilled and calmed. And what about the fire? The three Hebrew children were put into the fiery furnace. Humanly speaking, that fiery furnace would have burned them because it was made seven times hotter than ever before. And humanly speaking, it ought to have burned them asunder and to cinders. But instead of that, the only thing that was burned off them was that which man put on them. Because they bound them and they put them into the fiery furnace. But whenever the king saw them, they were walking, not bound. For the only thing that was singed and the only thing that was destroyed and the only thing that was burned in that fire was the things that man had put upon them. Why? Because even the very fire, God supreme. The supremacy of God, friend. And that's why the psalmist says, whatsoever the Lord pleaseth, that did he in heaven and in the earth. You see, God's supremacy. Now, God is not only supreme over all of his creation, but God is also supreme over his rule in your lives and mine. If you turn back to the book of Exodus, in the chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34, and you'll see God demonstrating his rule over mankind. Go to verse 21 and it says this, 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest, in the earing time and in the harvest thou shalt rest. Thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruit of the wheat harvest, and the feast of the ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men, or your men children, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. 6 days, God says, you labor. And God says, listen, and not only 6 days shalt thou work, 7 days shall be rest, in the earing time, in the harvest time shalt thou rest. You know, some people today, it used to be in olden days, that no matter what the weather was like, no matter what the harvest was like, our forefathers, they rested, they give God his day.
They set it apart for God because God says, 6 days shalt thou work, the seventh day. Yes, in the earing time and in the harvest time. Listen, there's no difference. He says, thou shalt still rest. And our forefathers, they give God his day. But sad to say, that's not no more. And people today, they just want to take the day from God. And they use it just like any other day. And then God says, listen, that's my command. God demonstrating his rule over mankind. And then God says, listen, verse 23, thrice in the year shall all your men, children, appear before the Lord thy God. The Lord God, the God of Israel. 3 times in the year, all the men, the males of Israel, were requested to leave their homes and they were to go up to Jerusalem. But some will say, but listen, did they not live in the midst of a hostile people? And whilst those young men would leave and go to Jerusalem, would their lands not be taken? Would their wives not be taken? Would their children not be in danger? Because they were going up to Jerusalem those 3 times a year, and the enemy would know that. But notice what God said. He said, I will cast out, verse 24, I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders, neither shall any man desire thy land. When thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God, thrice in a year. You see, God was supreme here. God was supreme here. And although there was an opportunity for the enemy to come in and take the land, God worked and was supreme, listen to me, even over the wills of the wicked. God was supreme. Not only over the wills of his people. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to go 3 times a year to Jerusalem, and I want you to worship me there. And God says, while you're away, let me tell you this, neither shall any man desire thy land. You see, I will even work on the wills of the wicked. Why? Because I'm supreme. Even over the enemy, friend. God is supreme. In the book of Proverbs, in the chapter 21, it says this in verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. There's the supremacy of God, friend. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God turns it. He said, whenever you're away, children, listen, whenever you're away, your enemy will not even desire your land. Why? Because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The supremacy of God. In the same book of Proverbs, look at chapter 16. In verse number 9, it says this. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. But the Lord. Yes, man can design, and man can plan, and man can purpose. And man can boast himself about what he will do, and man can drive fear quite often into the hearts of an unbelieving child of God who is afraid of what man's going to do on them. But listen, a man's heart deviseth his way. He purposes, he plans, yes, he designs, but the Lord directeth his steps. God moves it. God moves it, as Proverbs 21 says. He turneth it whithersoever he will. There is the supremacy of God, friend. Now let's look secondly. Not only at the supremacy of God, but then we think of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. It is said that the sovereignty of God is the exercise of God's supremacy. God is supreme over all. And the sovereignty of God is the exercise of God's supremacy. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 46. And the verse number 10, it says this. Declaring the end from the beginning. From the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. This is God, friend. My counsel shall stand. There will never come any end to the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign in all things. God sovereignly put Adam in the garden. And when God sovereignly put Adam in the garden, friend, he put him there under a conditional footing. He placed him there in the conditional, he placed him on the basis of the condition of a creature's responsibility to obey his maker. In other words, Adam stood accountable to God. He was responsible to God. He had a responsibility given by a sovereign God to him. And God says, thou shalt not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. And God placed him there sovereignly. God placed Adam in the garden on a conditional footing. Because remember what the Bible says. He drove him out of the garden. So God drove out the man. And when Adam sinned against God, friend, Adam deliberately, defiantly disobeyed God. But God put him there. And God placed upon him an obligation. And God has placed upon you and me an obligation. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength. And God places an obligation upon man. Now, why did God put Adam in the garden on a conditional footing? Because it pleased him to do so. Because it pleased God in his sovereign will to do so. Because God's will is sovereign. God's will is supreme. So often, you know, we try to understand what is God doing and why is God doing these things. And we don't understand. Listen, God is sovereign. God is supreme in everything. And we must bow in submission to him. And who are we that we should challenge God's sovereignty? Who are we that we should challenge God's supremacy? Who are we that we should challenge what God is doing? Isaiah chapter 45, look at verse number 9. It says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Are you striving with God, friend? Are you arguing with God? Are you challenging God's sovereignty in your life? Are you challenging God's sovereignty over the affairs of men? Are you striving with God? The word of God says, listen, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Are you challenging God? God, why are you doing this? God, you have no right to do this in my life. Maybe things are not working out as you plan or purpose it, but my God is sovereign. Turn over into the New Testament to see the very same thing. Book of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, so often we stop at Romans chapter 8 and think it's wonderful. So it is. All things work together for good. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? All of those wonderful statements that bless our soul. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elected? Is God that justifieth me? My, what a blessing. Romans chapter 8, it starts. There's therefore now no condemnation. Don't forget Romans chapter 9, friend. Look with me, for example, in Romans chapter 9. Go to verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Why, friend? Because he's sovereign. Because he is supreme. Verse 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God raised Pharaoh. And why did God raise him up, friend? Listen, for a purpose. And God says, listen, my purpose is this. I'm going to show my power in thee, Pharaoh. Look at verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy. And whom he will, he hardeneth. Notice the words, friend. Whom he will. He hardeneth. Why? God, how can you do that? Because he's sovereign, friend. Because he's supreme. Verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why dost he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Do you know who you're talking to, friend? Do you really know who you're challenging? When you're challenging the sovereignty of God to move according to his own purpose and plan, will? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Have you a right to challenge God, friend, who is the sovereign God, who is the eternal God? There never was a day, there never was a moment that he was not. Verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor? And another unto dishonor? What if God? See the argument, friend, here? God's sovereign in everything. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. There we see God's sovereignty. God's supremacy. God's sovereignty. God's surety. Oh, we have a faithful God this morning. That's the thing that ought to rejoice our hearts. This sovereign, supreme God is a faithful God. I know time's away this morning. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Praise God, he's a faithful God. He doesn't start the work and then drop it. But he'll confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. God is faithful. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have a faithful God this morning. And God who is sovereign, God who is supreme in all things, is the same God who is faithful right unto the very end. Our faithful God. Just turn back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And here we find in this, we have read this verse so many times, verse number 7, Deuteronomy 7, 7. The Lord did not set his love upon us, nor choose us, because you are more in number than any people, for ye were fewer than all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Let me tell you, look at the children of Israel. They were children who murmured. They were children who complained against God. They were children who did not believe the Lord. They argued with God. And yet God said, listen, I'm going to keep my promise. I love you because I love you because I love you. And it was not because of anything in you, but because it was in me. The love was in God's heart before it reached ours. And then it says in verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. The faithful God. The faithful God. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Isn't it refreshing to know that God is faithful? That God is faithful. He's faithful to the promises which he makes. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 it says, yet he abideth faithful. God will never do anything, my friend. God will never act contrary to his nature, and the nature of God is his faithfulness. He is sovereign. He is supreme. But praise God, he's sure. Faithfulness is one of the glorious perfections of God's being. It's beyond our comprehension. But God never fails. And God never forgets. And God never falters. And God never forfeits his word. God says, listen, I'm going to keep my word. I'm a faithful God. He says, while the earth remaineth. Now what he said after the flood, friend. What he said? He says, while the earth remaineth, I want to tell you, while this old earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, it's never going to cease. He's a faithful God. You can depend upon him. That's why we sing the hymn, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus friend. No, not one. No, not one. You can depend upon the faithfulness of God. No matter what happens in this old world, no matter what happens in your life, friend, I don't care, no matter what the twists and the turns that your life takes, there has never been a person who has ever trusted God in vain. Because He is the faithful God. He hath fulfilled, He has given to His people exceeding great and precious promises, and praise God, He'll fulfill the promises that He has made to His people, because God cannot lie. There are times that life's rough. There are times the going's hard. But praise God, He'll keep His word. Your faith will be tried. Maybe it is being tried at this present moment. You're being sorely tried by earth's experience and the journey of life. Maybe your eyes are dimmed because you've shed your tears. And maybe your hearts are breaking. Maybe in all of what's happening to you, friend, you can't see. You can't really trace God's loving hand and God's loving purpose. Do you remember this? He remaineth faithful. He remains faithful. And there's always a purpose. And there's always a sovereign plan with God. Why? Because He's not only absolutely supreme, He is not only gloriously sovereign, but praise God, He's positively sure. You can depend upon the Word of God. Maybe your life has been shaken. Maybe at times your faith is staggered. And you're in unbelief. And you cannot see the face of God. Because it seems it's dark there. But remember, He's still there. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you leave God's house today. And you go out into that world to live for God and find God. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's nearer than hands or feet. And God's working in your life. And God's working, and He wants to work through you. There's the surety of the faithfulness of God. And even when He's disciplining you, even when the rod goes upon your back, friend, even when you feel the whip of God and the discipline of God upon your life, let me tell you, God's remaining faithful to His promise. You know what He says? With this I close. He says, I'll never leave you. And He says, I'll never forsake you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a friend. Let's pray. Our gracious, eternal God, we confess in all of our lives there are times that the eye cannot see the path ahead. There are times that our eyes are dimmed, for we shed our tears. There are times when our hearts are broken. But we thank Thee that in all of those days that Thou remainest faithful. We thank Thee, our God, that Thou art supreme today. Even the very creation, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea. Realize all of these do Thy bidding. When Jonah was running away from Thee, Thou didst have that mighty fish there. And You did it not for his hurt, but for his learning and for his healing. Oh, we thank Thee that the very, even Lord, when he was complaining and he was sitting there in that booth, how the little worm worked away. And Lord, the little worm did Your bidding. The lions did Your bidding. The ravens did Your bidding. The wind did Your bidding. The fire did Your bidding. The very sea did Your bidding.
for thou art God. And yet what of man today? What of rebellious man that wants his own will? That wants his own way? Forgive us when we've walked in rebellion. Give us a heart that's yielded to Thee. Give us a heart that was surrendered to Thee, to Thy supremacy, to Thy sovereignty, knowing with surety that Thou art our faithful God. We pray in Jesus' name.